Is it Wednesday already? What is going on? Megan and I were talking. I was coming home from work, and I said, man, you know, it's weird to have church on Tuesday. And then she goes, yeah, I know, but then we don't have to do anything tomorrow. I go, oh, man. The best of both worlds, holiday week and time in the Scriptures. Doesn't get any better than that. Well, let's pray as we continue our journey through the book of Numbers in chapter 32. Lord, pray that we would continue to grow week after week, Lord, as you just continue to plant your words in our hearts, that you would apply it to us, that we would accomplish your mission in the world as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's read verses 1 through 5. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of livestock. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, Ataroth, Dibron, Jazer, Nimron, Heshbon, Eleala, Shebam, Nebo, and Beon, the country which the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel, is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. Therefore they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us over the Jordan. So the Moabites and the Midianites have been defeated over the last few chapters. They've lost their battles. They've lost their towns. And all these cities are listed. And the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad, they are the cattle guys. They are the rustlers. They are the ones out there with all the different flocks. And they're looking around and they're saying, man, this territory here is perfect for livestock. Why can't we just stay here? And what's the problem with that? That seems like a very practical solution. The problem is that God told them the promised land is on the other side of the Jordan. For 400 years, the people of Israel have been told that the promised land is on the other side of the Jordan. The promise had been made to Abraham as he was coming over and being led by faith. And here they are, 400 years later, the Lord has led them through Egypt. The 10 plagues, they've had the deliverance. They've had 38 years in the desert. They got two more to go. And they're almost there, right on the edge of the Jordan to go into the promised land. And what did they say? It's good enough right here. We're just going to camp right here. This is fine. All this way to come up short. Now, if you've walked with the Lord for any amount of time, there have been times in your life where you compromised with the world and you said, I'm going to stop right here. This is okay. This is good enough. Now let's read verses 6 and 7. And Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Now why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? It's been said that complacency is contagious. Notice that Moses doesn't really care about where they want to stay, right? He doesn't say, Reubenites, Gadites, you guys are going to miss out on all this stuff. No, what does he say? What about all your brothers that are going to go over the Jordan and conquer? Are you going to stay here and not fight? And he says, what about the rest of the tribe? What about the rest of Israel? What about everybody else? And so many times we compromise with the world because we think what's best for us, but we don't have the mentality of what's good for our neighbors, what's good for our brothers and sisters in Christ, what's better for all of us. And we say, well, you know what? It's not really that big of a deal. It is very dangerous for us when we hang around people that don't want to grow closer to the Lord. Well, think about that for a minute. It is very dangerous for us because complacency is contagious. And that's what Moses is warning about. Everybody else is going to make this leap of faith. The rest of us are going to go over the Jordan and we're going to fight for the promised land that God gave us. And you want to sit here in this field. And many of us have had these situations with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe it's been a spouse, or maybe it's been one of your children or your grandchildren. Maybe it's been somebody that you've been in the ministry together where you're growing deeper and deeper. You're taking these steps of faith. You're trying to grow in the Lord, but they're just content and they're not really growing. Again, that's very dangerous. Now, there's going to be some very pointed discussion here for the rest of this chapter. And then we're going to see the actual conversations that take place, what happens historically, and what's going to happen in the future because of these decisions, and then we're going to apply it to ourselves like we always do. So let's read verses 8 through 15. Thus, this is Moses, he's continuing to say, thus your fathers did when I sent them away from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, so they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day. He swore an oath, saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt, from 20 years old up and above, shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. And look, you have risen in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to increase still more the fierce anger of the Lord against Israel. For if you turn away from following him, he will once again leave them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. Wow, that's deep. He's laying it on. He's telling them exactly what's happening here. Don't you remember Kadesh Barnea? 38 years ago, we sent the 12 spies into the land, and they came back. And 10 of them discouraged the whole nation from going. And you don't remember this, do you, Gadites and Reubenites? Because that was 38 years ago. And your whole life, you've been growing up in this desert because of that decision. And here you are doing the exact same thing. Now, how many of us remember 38 years ago where you were? So 38 years ago, where were you? I see the young ones like me are like, yeah, you didn't exist yet, right? Yeah, but there are people in here that remember 40 years ago. And whatever their memory was, that was a long time ago, a long time ago. And here we are making the same mistakes. Now, those of us that have that memory, those experiences, will tell us that people are making the exact same mistakes. If they were walking with the Lord 40 years ago, there were people not going all the way in. They weren't seeking after the Lord. They weren't seeking after the Word of God. They weren't growing deeper in their relationship. And they're going to express to you regrets of things they wish they could have done. And the funny part is, spoiler alert, I am not 40 years old yet. And I pray I never reach 40 because the Lord's not going to tarry. But if he does, I just want to be faithful. But here I am looking at my kids, especially my oldest one now, and I'm telling him mistakes I made at his age. And I'm telling him mistakes I made in those young years. And you know what I'm telling him? Exactly what you guys know. And they told me the exact same thing I'm telling you, and I didn't listen. They told me the exact same thing, and I didn't listen. And here I am having the same conversation with you, and I pray you will listen. Well, listen, let's take this one step deeper. We've got the actual nation of Israel. We know what the Reubenites and the Gadites want to do. We know what Moses is telling them. We just talked about our lives and legacy. Let's talk now about the spiritual. The spiritual. If we had just gone all the way a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, why did we stop at the Jordan in our own lives? Why didn't we take that extra step of faith? Because it was tough, because it was hard, because we didn't know what to do, because we were complacent. We compromised. And every single one of us in different levels can look in our walk with the Lord and say, you know what? I took my foot off the gas here. I got complacent. But here we are. We're not at Kadesh Barnea anymore. Here we are in the land of the Midianites. Here we are in the land. And we get to have this decision again. So today, what decision are you going to make? Being confronted with this, are you going to go deeper into deeper challenges with God? Are you going to walk by faith? Or are you going to be like the Reubenites and the tribe of Gad and say, no, you know what? This is good enough. I'm going to stop right here. I'm still a part of the nation of Israel. I'm still going to walk with the Lord. I'm still going to go with church, but I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to be half in the world and half with the nation of Israel. Because that's literally what's going to happen here. I want to point out this thing once again, and that is Moses does not confront them about what they are going to miss out on. What does Moses confront them about? What it's going to do to the rest of the nation. See, we rest on our laurels for what we perceive as our own benefit because we don't look at the community, the church, or your family. You know, husbands, what does that do to your wife when you take your foot off the gas spiritually? Wives, what does that do to your husband when you decide that you are not going to take those steps of faith and grow deeper? Young people that are in the fellowship tonight, what does that do when your parents are trying to seek after the Lord, make these steps of faith, but you're like, you know what? I'd rather be half in the world. I'd rather be on this side of the Jordan. I want to compromise. I want both. I want to have both. I'm going to let you in on a secret here. None of this is going to work out. And what is the biggest negative thing that Moses says here? He reminds them what God says. He says, because they have not wholly followed me. God is speaking. He says, they have not wholly followed me. If they had only followed me with their own heart. And that is when they asked Jesus. Remember, they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. If you follow those two commandments, you cannot compromise for your own gain, can you? If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you're going to want to follow him wherever he goes, no matter what the consequences are. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to pour yourself out into others and not into self-gain. I want to go back to the primary motivation here. Why do the Reubenites and the Gadites want to stay there? Because it's easy. Hey, we know how to do business here. We already know how to take care of cattle and the flocks of the field. The cities are already here. We don't have to fight anybody. In fact, they're going to tell us a little bit about that now in verses 16 to 24. Because they're going to speak to Moses and they're going to reply to him. So in verse 16, it says, then they came near to him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our livestock and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will be armed, ready to go before the children of Israel until we have brought them to their place. And our little ones will dwell in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every one of the children of Israel has received his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this eastern side of the Jordan. Then Moses said to them, if you do this thing, if you arm yourselves before the Lord for war, and all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterward you may return and be blameless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. Verse 23. But if you do not do so, then take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do what has proceeded out of your mouth. Compromise upon compromise upon compromise. So their response to Moses is, oh man, we really don't want to do that. We don't want to stumble the nation at all. I tell you what we're going to do. We'll all go over to the Jordan and fight with you. But we're going to keep our families here. This is going to be our land. We're going to take care of it. We don't want you guys to be mad at us, but we also want to stay here in this land. So we're going to build up these cities, and we're going to rebuild the ones that were destroyed, and we're going to put our kids here. Then we'll go over and campaign with you. Moses says, okay, if that's what you're willing to do, then fine, you can do it. You can go ahead and stay here. Now, imagine this. Imagine this. You are a fighter, a soldier, and you have your family with you. You have your sword, you have your spear, your slingshot. Every day, you guys are being prepped for battle. We're going to go over to the Jordan. There's a big fortress on the other side. It's called Jericho. It's got huge walls. We're going to take it. That's going to be our land. Not only are you going to go across the Jordan and fight, your family is coming with you. Your wife is coming with you, your kids. Ladies here, your husband's going with you. Your kids are coming with you. And when you go into enemy territory and fight, you have to fight for your, not only your life, but your family's life. And you're doing all this by faith. Meanwhile, your neighbor says, I'm going to leave my kids back at home, protected in a fortress. I'm going to leave them back there. I'm going to leave my wife back there too. Or I'm just going to come on my own. Are you going to have the same feeling for this person like they're all the way in like you are? Are you going to be like, yes, they're putting in 100% for us? Now, the other thing is, if they already know that their territory, and this is just human nature, I'm inferring, which is very dangerous with the scripture, but if they already know that their family's safe at home, and all they got to do is make sure that you got the land conquered, how hard are they going to fight? Are they going to be the tip of the spear to try and get this thing done and accomplished, or are they just going to kind of hold back a little bit? See, these are the discussions that are taking place. You know, I'm a weirdo. I think historically I've been watching this documentary on the early Islamic expansion in 600 AD over the last few nights. You know, just weird things like that. And I think to myself, like if you're on one of those ancient walls and you're defending your town from this attack and you have a co-laborer with you and he's asleep. Better yet, the time gets tough and he runs away. What are you going to think about that person? Spiritually, husbands, wives, families, young people, it's the same for us. We are in a spiritual battle, but for some reason, we only think about ourselves. What's in it for us? What's comfortable for us? What's entertaining for us? Does this sermon entertain me? Does going to church, is it benefiting me? Instead of thinking, how does it benefit somebody else? How are you guarding somebody else? How are you blessing other people? And we get so self-centered and we forget that we're in this together. Spiritually, the Lord is working in each and every one of our lives. And He has empowered you with spiritual giftings, not just to bless you, but to bless the people around you and to be using it with other people. But we decide to stay back for comfort's sake. You know, I'm impressed to see everybody here on a Tuesday. I'm blessed. There's a lot of people that are just going to skip church this week because it's Thanksgiving week. Because they want to take a break. And, you know, they have the liberty to do that. I don't want to condemn anybody for exercising liberty or inferring to anyone that church attendance has anything to do with their walk with the Lord. But I know personally in my life, there have been people that have taught me a tremendous amount just by being in church every week. I tell this story all the time about this couple at Calvary Chapel, Lompoc. They were not teachers. The man was an elder in the fellowship, and he never taught. I think he taught twice in the 10 years I was there. And he was really influential into my life because he never missed a service, ever. Never missed a service. If he was missing from this, and he sat in the same spot every single service, three services a week, he was always there, quiet. And I remember serving there when he was not there, I'd be like, what happened? Is everything okay? I'm calling him up. I'm texting him. Oh, yeah, we're out of town. Oh, great. Enjoy your trip. I'm praying for you. And his faithfulness ministered to me. But when we get self-centered and we're thinking, well, you know, I'm just going to stay on this side of the Jordan, whatever that Jordan is in your life, whatever that spiritual step of faith that you have to make, and you compromise for your own comfort, you're compromising all of us. It could be with sin. It could be in a personal... let's take it even all the way back. You skip your Bible Devo, you know, your devotional time with the Lord. You don't read for a week. You know, no big deal. You're under liberty. But what word of knowledge was God going to give you that you needed to give to somebody else that week that you missed out on? That's like being in a gun battle. You call for ammo, and the guy next to you says, I forgot it. It's like literally, we're in a spiritual war here, and we got to remember that. And you got to be thinking about others, not yourself. And you may be thinking, well, Mike, you know, you've been watching too many of those documentaries. No, you know, Ephesians 6 tells us that we are in a battle, and we're all equipped for that battle. It tells us the weapons of our warfare, the Word of God, and prayer. Listen, when you skip prayer, you're not disappointing God because you're not in attendance. You're not on the wall. You are not spiritually covering your brother and sister in Christ. You are letting them down. You're letting the church down. Stop thinking so self-centeredly. You're letting everyone else down because you're too lazy to bend the knee. Well, God doesn't give me what he wants. It doesn't have anything to do with you. Prayer is about being obedient to God, about being conformed to his image and his will. His will be done on earth as it is on heaven. And it's about spiritually covering each other. I don't know where this whole Jesus is my Christmas list prayer life came into. And I pray that all these things encourage us. Let's read a little bit more. We're going to read verses 25 through 27, and I'm going to summarize why this all matters to us. What does it do to them? And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke to Moses, saying, your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our livestock will be there in the cities of Gilead. But your servants will cross over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, just as my Lord says. So they agree, and it seems like all is well, right? Like, okay, great. They're going to go and fight, and everyone's going to stay here. Do you know in Joshua chapter 22, the Reubenites and the Gadites make their own altar? And Israel is about to cross back over the Jordan and smite them because they think they're making a new temple. But they say, no, we weren't making our own temple. We want to make sure that we know we're connected with you guys. We're the same tribe. Already the separation is taking place. The Reubenites and the Gadites on the other side of the Jordan are the first invaded, the first taken captive. They're the most compromised with the world, the farthest away from the temple. When the Assyrians come, taken. When the Babylonians came, taken again. It gets so bad that in the New Testament, in the region of the Gadites, around the Decapolis, we see Jesus there on the other side of the Jordan. He's in this area. And what happens with Jesus on that side of the Jordan? There's a person there that is demon-possessed. And where did the demons ask to go? Into the pigs. This is the region because they're pig farmers. They're shepherds. They're compromised. They're not supposed to have pigs. They're not following dietary law. But hey, it's good for business. And the demons are asked permission to go into the swine. Jesus allows it. The swine jump over a cliff. And what does the town say? Praise God, a man has been delivered. They say, you need to get out of here. What did you do to our crop? What did you do to our flock? And it's just spiritually showing here. All the way back in Numbers chapter 32 where we're at, Joshua chapter 22, and the New Testament all tying together. This life of compromise has consequences. A spiritual life with spiritual compromise has spiritual consequences. And they have a legacy as well. Small victories today can mean great victories in the future. We just have to stop compromising. Go all the way. And that's, I want to go back to the beginning of the sermon. Just remind yourself, 5 years ago, if you had just followed Christ with your whole heart, where would you be now? 10 years ago, if you just said, no more excuses, I'm going to follow Christ with my whole heart. I'm going to go across the Jordan. I'm going to take steps of faith. I'm going to go deeper in the Word of God. I want to be used by God. I want to explore spiritual giftings. I want to try new things with you, Lord. Lead me into new places, new battles. Where would you be today? How effective would you be today? And then, if it's not where you think you should have been, do it now. You may have failed in your own Kadesh Barnea in your life. There may have been times where the Lord left you up and said, hey, it's time to go. Let's do this. And you said, no, but there's giants in the land. And maybe you've had a time of being re-energized and re-equipped and walking with the Lord. He's been giving you his manna day after day, leading you by pillar of fire, cloud of smoke. He's been leading you day after day, ministering to you in the tabernacle. And now it's time. You're in a tough spot. You've been put up there. It's time to make a step of faith. And you're saying, yeah, but there's giants in the land, and it's easy over here. I'm comfortable. Well, the choice is yours, because the Lord's going to have, if he tarries, 5 years from now, another sermon to say, what if 5 years ago you had fully given your heart to the Lord? You really went in full, 100%. See what he does. I pray that all of us can say, not by our works, but by his works, because we can do nothing, but we gave ourselves over to the Lord, and look what he did to our lives. Look what he did to our families. Look what he did to our fellowship. Look what he did to our town and our country, because we made ourselves available to the Holy Spirit, and we made steps of faith. And everything we have, we give him praise for, because he does the work. But it all starts with us stopping with compromise for our own comfort. Stop compromising for your own comfort. The last thing, and then we're going to read all the way through the rest of this chapter, as there's a summary of all the sermon of all the cities, excuse me, it's been a long day, is this. Take your family with you. On your journey of faith, take your family with you. I think as parents and grandparents, sometimes we're so afraid of letting our children know we're making steps of faith, and sometimes we make mistakes. Tell them. They need to see how to make spiritual mistakes. They need to see how to have humility. They need to see how to learn, how to explore new things in the Scriptures. And as families and as parents and as grandparents, sometimes we get so worried about making sure whatever we present to them is perfect that we don't teach them how to fail in faith. Fail forward in Christ. Fail forward. Lord, help is exactly the right prayer when you've been walking on water, but you begin to drown. Jesus called Peter out into the water, and as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he did great. But the perfect prayer in that moment when he began to sink is, Lord, help. Teach your kids how to fail forward. Because so many of them are going to get their first trial, and they don't know how to fight. How tough of a fighter are you going to be if your whole life you go into the promised land? First, you're raised in the desert fighting. Then you cross the Jordan by faith. Jericho comes down, and you got to fight all these different tribes. How tough are those kids by the time they're raised up? Don't we want spiritually tough kids that grow up? Don't we want spiritually tough families that know how to fail, that know how to struggle, that know how to fight compromise with the world? Take your family with you on that journey. Stop trying to make everything perfect. Stop trying to fix your theology and then present it to your kids. No, teach them how to grow in theology. In fact, I think it's good if you realize you've made a mistake in something in the Scriptures and you teach your family, hey, this is how I made a mistake, and this is how the Bible corrected me, and this is how I'm going forward. It's so healthy. Don't leave your kids back in the town while you go and grow in the Lord. Take your whole family with you. And I want to give kudos to the wives. I know a lot of wives that are dragging their husbands with them in their spiritual journey. Good job. Good job. You need to do it lovingly and in respect, humbling yourself to each other. Good job. Do it with the kids. Husbands, especially, take your family with you. I don't want to be known as a Reubenite. Be like, yeah, I left everybody back there while I'm here, and I'm just trying to get as much done as possible so I can go back. No, I want to be in Jerusalem. I want to be dancing with David as the Ark of the Covenant comes. I don't want to be on the other side of the Jordan with the pigs. Now, we're going to do a little bit of reading here. And let's read verses 28 through 42. It is a summary, but there's also some good nuggets in here. So Moses gave command concerning them to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said to them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben cross over the Jordan with you, every man armed for battle with the Lord, and the land is subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead as possession. But if they do not cross over armed with you, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. Then the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord has said to your servants, so we will do. We will cross over armed before the Lord in the land of Canaan. But the possession of our inheritance shall remain with us on this side of the Jordan. So Moses gave to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and the land with its cities, with it, the boundaries, within the borders, the cities of the surrounding country. Verse 34. And the children of Gad built Dibon and Ataroth and Aroer, Ataroth and Shophan and Jazar the Jophivah, Jogbeha, verse 36. Beth Nimrah and Beth Haran, fortified cities and folds for sheep. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon and Eliah and Kirjarathim, Nebo and Baal Meon, their names being changed, and Shibmah. And they gave other names to the cities which they built. Verse 39. And the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it, and dispossessed the Amorites who were in it. So Moses gave Gilead to Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt in it. Also Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took its small towns, and called them Havjoth-Jair. Then Nobah went and took Kenath and its villages, and he called it Nobah, after his own name. So I want to point out something here. There's another tribe that's mentioned here, the half-tribe of Manasseh, because compromise is contagious. And so now it's going to be 2.5 tribes that are going to stay on the other side of the Jordan. The half-tribe of Manasseh. It's a half-tribe because the two sons of Joseph are counted as a tribe, but the son of Joseph counts as one, so you split it. You split it up. That's why they call those half tribes. But Manasseh now is going to stay with the tribe of Gad and the tribe of Reuben on the other side. Again, here they are conquering. Here they are taking towns and renaming towns and building towns. They're so busy, but they're going to be the first that are conquered by the world. Here they are conquering and thinking they're advancing, but they're going to be the first that are conquered. And so it is, you know, when we live a life apart from Christ or a compromised life with Christ. You can build up a career. You can get a bigger house. You can live in retirement. And it's John Piper. He's famous for a sermon that he taught. And he gives an illustration. Now, when I give an illustration from a pastor like John Piper, that does not mean I agree with all his theology, just before I get an angry letter. But he tells this story of this sermon of this couple that is retired. And they retired so well that they now live on a boat and they cruise around to all the beaches of the world collecting seashells. They collect seashells. That's like a riddle. Like a tongue twister. All the beaches of the world collecting seashells. English is my second language. And what he's saying is, they lived their whole life to live that dream of retirement, to go around the world and do this. And he says, and then you're going to die. And you're going to look Jesus in the eye. And you're going to say, oh Lord, look at my collection of shells. Like, that's the summary of your life. What have you done with my son? What have you done with the gospel? When you look at the Lord for all of eternity, in our world, we would say, yes, they have lived the dream. They've made it. Man, they're amazing. But when they're in the kingdom, it's like, Jesus is not interested in your shell collection. Not interested at all. And here are these tribes. They're gaining so much. They look so prosperous. But at the end, the first to be taken captive by the world. Listen, the world is not your friend. The world is not your friend. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. The Bible tells us clearly. So, let's live lives that are not full of regret. And the only way we can do that is being covered in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter tells us in the scriptures that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness in the Bible. Let's just live full out for Him. Take steps of faith and see what He does. Well, we're going to spend the rest of this evening praying and interceding for one another and just growing in the Lord. And I pray that you would dig deeper in your prayer life. And we need to be making intercession for one another, lifting up those that are in authority. We need to be engaged in the spiritual battle. Don't hold out. Because if you're holding out, you're holding out on the rest of us. Father, we thank you so much that you have given us these opportunities to serve you in spiritual places through prayer, physically where you put us and placed us in our jobs and our workplaces, in our families. I pray we continue to grow in you and be used by you. And I pray that, Lord, 5 years from now, when I am before you, I don't feel like I compromise. I don't want to be on the other side of the Jordan, Lord. I want to be with you as close to your presence as possible. Thank you for teaching us that we can't do it apart from you, and we pray that you would have your way in us. Lead us this evening in prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.